Adam Copeland, you want to introduce our next guest?
I'll bring him in. One of San Francisco's favorite former Giants, now in Tampa Bay. He is not here for the series as he's recovering from injury. We welcome Matt Duffy to Weekends in the Park. Matt, how are you, man?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well.
You're getting an ovation here, Matt, on the patio. You know that.
Well, thanks, guys.
Well, it's good. So tell us, first of all, Tampa's here, and we're very impressed with the team, and you're perfect for the Rays. We want to get you back on the field, of course. But talk about this ball club a little bit, and then we'll talk about your health. But very impressive. This is a team like we haven't seen before.
Yeah, I mean, we're all extremely excited, obviously, about the season ahead and the possibility. I think, the clubhouse that we have with the Rays is nothing like I've ever experienced. And that's not to offend anybody else, but it's just a very young, energetic, hungry group that everybody truly gets along. There's a lot of different personalities. And for me, I think it starts with Kevin Cash. And he's kind of a jokester. He doesn't take things too seriously. If you have a bad day or whatever, he'll joke with you about it. And he'll throw you back in the lineup the next day. It's not... there's not a lot of pressure, it seems like, even though there are certainly big expectations for us this year. In a tough division, you just kind of have to play loose and play hard, and that's really the only expectations from the staff.
I'm glad you mentioned Kevin Cash, because he's a guy who has taken over the head of a club now that is sort of at the cutting edge of the analytics movement, but also a guy who played sort of right before this stuff started. How do you feel like he balances that with you guys as a constantly moving vehicle that has to mix and match your different pieces in the lineup?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm not in the conversations that they're having, but it seems from the outside a little bit that, they take all that information and use it to make the best decision possible and put their players in the best position. They still, like to play the hot hand and who's hitting well or who's throwing well. It doesn't seem like it's just all about analytics. I feel like it's a good balance. And they take all the information that they have at their disposal to make the best decision possible. Not necessarily always the most, I guess, sound decision on paper. Oftentimes it is. But they have a little bit of wiggle room, and I feel they do a really good job with it.
Well, Matt Duffy with us, of course, one of the favorites here in San Francisco. And I have a note here. Allie Williams put together some notes for me to talk to you about. Added 25 pounds of muscle. Is that possible?
Yep.
Where did it go?
Most of it was muscle. It was about 18, 19 pounds of muscle. It was kind of just everywhere, really. That was my main goal this offseason, to be able to handle the grind of a full season. Ironically, I hurt myself the day before the first spring training game. Kind of turned out to be kind of a separate issue. I don't know if the added weight had something to do with it. It did, but, we're trending in the right direction. But, yeah, that was kind of my whole goal this offseason. It was difficult, kind of having to force food down my throat a little bit. I wasn't comfortable most of the time. I know a lot of people say that they would love to have that problem of having to gain weight, but I always tell people, as hard as it is for some people to lose weight, it's just as hard for me to gain weight. So I think either way is not particularly enjoyable.
All right. Well, we can't wait to see. We saw Christian Arroyo yesterday, and he grew up into his body. I'll tell you that. He's a man now.
Yeah, he is. Got a little facial hair, too.
Yeah, totally different, totally different. Well, Matt Duffy is with us. Matt, looking at your career and thinking back to San Francisco, bring us back to some of your favorite moments of being a Giant here.
I think, the top of the list is certainly 2014 postseason. I wish I could go back, having the perspective that I have now of how difficult it is to just make the postseason, let alone win the whole thing. But, I had only been in the big leagues, I think, 2 months at that point, so I just thought, this is amazing. This happens every year. This is easy. This is how it's supposed to be. And, for a while, it was that way in San Francisco, and that was certainly the top of the list for me. Obviously, 2015 was a special year, too, and us being in the hunt the whole year, that was fun, trying to chase down the Dodgers. And it's not always, I guess, the top of the list that you enjoy. You still enjoy... I mean, I enjoyed every day that I spent there. I truly did. And the fans, I always tell people that nobody can rival the Giants fans. It's just special how much they support the team and how much you can't go within 3 miles of the stadium without being reminded of the Giants. I think that's really special. And So the experience at the ballpark in, I think, 2014 were certainly at the top of my list of memories.
Well, last year, your first real full season in Tampa Bay, playing 130-plus games, and you guys have some of the best arms in the really all of baseball. Aroldis Chapman, Craig Kimbrell there last year, Severino, Sale, Price. Can you talk about having to face some of the top arms in all of baseball last season?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a tough division to play in. It's, you know, hyper-competitive, and the arms there are, like you mentioned, it seems like every day you're facing a new guy. And I don't want to say you get used to it, but you get used to that mindset of every day, every at-bat, being a grind. You know, there's no real, like, easy days, I guess, and really there isn't in the big leagues in general, but especially in the AL East. But I think it kind of it sharpens you a little bit, and I think it certainly makes you better when you're constantly facing the best of the best. You know, I think there is something to be said for that. Granted, there are days that you just, oh, man, I really wish we were facing a guy who was throwing 88 with no movement right down the middle. That would be nice. But, you know, that's just kind of how life is in the AL East, I guess. You're always fighting every day, and you know, because, you know, you don't want to look back at the end of the season knowing that you're one or two games behind the Red Sox or the Yankees or whoever it is, wishing you had one day back where you kind of took the day off mentally or whatever against a guy like Chris Sale, you know. And you really have to play near perfect baseball defensively, base running, to win those games. And I think it certainly makes you better against the rest of the league when you're playing that kind of baseball day in and day out. Like I said, I think it just makes you better.
Matt Duffy with us. Matt, what is it like playing behind Blake Snell? And we talked about some of the pitchers in the East, but how about this guy? And I talked to Arroyo a little bit about it. What's your perspective playing behind Blake Snell?
It looks like he's playing a video game, and I always say that it's actually boring playing behind him. And I always say, let the kids play. Come on, we want a grown ball here, buddy. he just punches everybody out. I mean, he's got four, you know, facing Kershaw and Zach Greinke in the years that they were really dominant. I mean, they were good, but they had three pitches. I mean, Blake has four top-of-the-line pitches. So for him to be off on any given day is so unlikely, because if his fastball isn't on, he's got three other pitches. If two pitches aren't on, he still has two. And, you know, the best guys can throw a really good game even with one pitch. So the fact that he has four, I do not envy anybody who has to face him.
Did you guys, as position players and as fielders last year, really embrace the opener thing when it happened? I'd imagine the starting pitchers get a little different mentality about it, but did you guys as a roster say, hey, maybe this is what's best for us, and we're going to embrace this thing?
Yeah, I think we did. I think the pitching staff certainly did, and that decision, you know, we've all heard the comments that some pitchers around the league have made, Jeff Smarcher being one of them, obviously. But I don't think it was a decision to slight any pitchers. It was just more about, hey, how do we put our guys that we do have in the best position possible to succeed? And if we have a guy who can really get out one time through an order, it's like, okay, hey, why are we going to throw him out there for six innings and try to get him two or three times through an order? That's kind of setting the guy up for failure the second and third time through. So it's like, hey, let's throw him out there one time through. We'll get somebody to open the first time through against the top guys. And then, you know, you get him through those three innings, and since you have multiple guys that can go three, four innings, we don't have one traditional long guy like most staffs. You know, we have guys that can cover innings. We're still covering nine innings each game. It's not like we're throwing a bunch of nobodies up there and trying to only cover seven innings a game and conceding the rest. You know, our guys are filthy, every single one of them, and if they're not outright filthy with a 98 mile an hour fastball, they have at least one or two pitches that are just different, and guys really do not like. You guys saw Ryan Yarbrough yesterday. I've heard some comments about some of the best hitters in the AL East who think his cutter is one of the best cutters in baseball. And he throws 90, you know? So all of our guys are filthy. All of our guys can get outs. And that decision with the opener, I think, was just about putting them in the best position possible to succeed. And it certainly worked, and they fought in 100%.
Wow. What about Chirinos? What do we expect from him today? What do we look for?
You know, if he's working ahead, he's going to be tough. Working ahead, working fast. You know, if Yanni's throwing strikes, look at that sinker. He's anywhere from 93 to 97 with, I don't know if you've watched any video, but an absolutely filthy sinker. It looks like a left-handed slider or curveball at times at 96. He's sneaky. If he's on, he's also one of the better guys. I could say that about any one of them.
Really, I guess so. Hey, you're giving up the least runs in the league so far, and you got the top ERA in the league so far in baseball. So.
Yeah. I'm not really going out on a limb.
No, you're not. You're not saying anything crazy here, believe me. Hey, we love having you on. When will we see you back on the field again? You know, everyone waits for you. And, you know, your name is still magic here. When do we see you back on the diamond?
Hopefully, you know, early May, early mid-May, I think. You know, it's tough because I didn't have a spring training. It's not really just about, hey, I'm back into game shape, but I got to, you know, get probably 30, 35 at-bats and be comfortable. You know, our team is really deep, and I don't want me coming off the injured list to be a hindrance on them. I want to make sure that I'm ready to go, that I'm 100% able to contribute to what we got going.
All right. Hamstring, is that it?
Yeah, hamstring, a little bit of back. That I guess they're kind of a little bit unrelated issues, but neither of them are really helping each other. So that was the issue with the hamstring not healing, was the back problem. So we've got them both under control now, and, you know, from here it's just building up normally. I feel really good, but like I said, since I had no spring training, it's a little bit longer buildup.
All right. You eating okay?
Oh, yeah. Keeping the weight on. Rachel's is feeding me just fine. She says hi, by the way.
I know. We miss both of you guys, and I hear from your dad every once in a while, too. Hey, take care of yourself, and don't be a stranger. We always love to catch up with you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks.
All right. That is Matt Duffy. Very nice. Former Giant. Always have a spot here, right?
I always think about the one that comes to mind, and he mentioned 2014, the score from second base on a pass ball. That's little league
stuff,
man. You don't see stuff like that.
I know.
That's being a ball player. That's knowing your spot on the field, knowing when you can take advantage of something. I love that instinct.
I was thinking to myself, I asked him the question, his favorite moment of his career. And my favorite moment of his is what you just said.
It's got to be that moment. And I can't remember for sure, but it had to be Yadi Molina behind the plate, right? Played for the Cardinals? Had to be.
Yeah, I guess so.
And he's scoring from second base. Unbelievable.
Wow. All right. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.